Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Cindy So, good afternoon to you. Can you hear me now, Cindy So?
Loud and clear, Zama.
Loud and clear. Lovely. Sorry, man, for that line that was not very good previously. Now, I'm talking about understanding the basics of defamation, and we often hear the word defamation, and we may not always understand what exactly it means, because defamation can be difficult to prove. Defamation matters tend to turn into lengthy court procedure where courts have to decide whether defamation occurred or not, depending on specific circumstances on a matter, etc., etc. Now, you are a regular legal mind here on the show and a director and partner at SMS and Associates. And so you've got to be helping us to shed light on this subject. How does the law actually define defamation? It seems complex.
Thank you, Zama. The law defines defamation as the wrongful and intentional publication of defamatory words or conduct about another person.
Mm-hmm.
Now, defamation law in general is intended at protecting a person's reputation from false statements and harm to their character and standing in the eyes of the public. Zama, generally as individuals, we owe each other a responsibility to be respectful towards each other. We must uphold the values of truth and the dignity of others, which is the dignity of which is enshrined in the Constitution, by the way. Now, defamation simply refers to the false making of false statements about an individual or business, which harms that person's reputation and standing in the community. And it manifests in two ways. Now, there is what we call libel. Libel is the written or printed defamatory statements. So libelous statements are often more enduring. They've got more enduring consequences in that they are recorded.
Mm-hmm.
And they can be spread and distributed widely. And they can be seen all around the world. An example of a libelous statement would include posts that are posted on social media, false newspaper articles and misleading adverts and so on and so forth. And then there is what we call slander, which is quite problematic, Zama, for the courts. Now, slander is spoken or oral defamatory statements. Now, since spoken words are fleeting and they are very difficult to prove, slander cases are often very, very difficult and require additional evidence for somebody to prove them. For example, if someone makes a claim in a conversation with another and says that, oh, that person or a certain person stole money from their workplace, or and that person, for instance, ends up losing their job or things like that. That is slanderous.
Oh, okay.
Right? It is not true.
Mm-hmm.
It is not true. It has harmed not only the dignity of that person, but eventually it has caused the loss of income on that particular person's part. So whether the defamatory words are intentional or not intentional, they've got severe consequences on either the victim as well as the person that is responsible for the defamatory statements. So defamatory statements may include a person's moral, political, or personal character. For example, one may accuse another of dishonesty or corruption or criminal activity. Or one may accuse, for instance, somebody may come to me and say, oh no, Cindy So is an incompetent lawyer, right? That is a defamatory statement. Some may, statements that are defamatory may include the financial statement of a particular person. They may cause financial embarrassment to somebody else. I've heard you know, statements on or seen statements on social media X, where people are referred to as deadbeat dads and all that stuff. And, you know, those can be defamatory statements. Or insults, some may be false allegations, vulgar language, or profanities that are directed at a particular person. Now, what I want to do, Zama, is just break down. Remember, when we defined defamation, we said it is the intentional and wrongful publication of defamatory statements against a particular person. Now, I want us to break down the elements. Now, starting off with the with the intention.
Okay,
a
all right.
person acts with intention if he directs his will at a particular result, and that result, he is conscious of the fact that that result is wrongful or that conduct is wrongful. There are two elements to the intention. Namely, a person must direct his will to a particular outcome. That is one. And secondly, that person must be conscious or have knowledge that that particular act is wrongful. There are three forms of intent, and this you'll find interesting because it will take me back to one particular case, very famous case, which is the case of Oscar Pistorius. I mean, every layman out there was a legal expert.
I remember.
Now,
that.
There is what we call direct intention, which is dolus directus. This form of intent is where the wrongdoer actually desires a particular outcome. That is direct or dolus directus. And then there's indirect intention, which is dolus indirectus. This is where the wrongdoer directly intends a particular consequence or has a particular consequence in mind, but at the same time has knowledge that another consequence might inevitably occur. Right? And then finally, we've got, which is the most popular, which is dolus eventualis.
Yeah, I remember that one.
Yes. this is where the wrongdoer, while desiring a particular result, foresees the possibility that he may cause a particular result or another result, but he reconciles himself to the fact that that result will occur nonetheless, and he performs the act, and the result occurs. So that is the part of intention. Now, the second part is the wrongfulness, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It is not sufficient for a person to merely direct their will towards causing a particular result. That person must reasonably foresee the possibility of their conduct being wrongful. Now, the comment made in a public platform must go against public morals. This simply means that the broader public must see the statement as wrongful. Here, what the courts do is they use what is called the objective reasonable person test. Now, I laugh sometimes when I talk about the reasonable person test because there's a personal joke to the reasonable person test.
Okay.
The reasonable person test is simply a fictional person, right? We would regard a person of who's not too educated, not too uneducated, a person basically who is not too sensitive, and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
So that is a reasonable person, and the courts generally use the test of a reasonable man to determine what the morals of society would be. Now, a clear example, for instance, of a statement would be, and what you call it, a defamatory statement would be one where one goes on social media and accuses somebody of committing or having committed a crime, and they know that that statement is false. Our courts then generally have a difficult time in balancing the rights One, the right of freedom of speech, mm-hmm. and the right, obviously, of the dignity of the other. But in mm-hmm. any case, I want to take you to the case of Jacobson versus Finch. Yep. In this case, the courts had to determine whether the respondent had wrongfully defamed the applicant. The applicant had argued that he had been defamed by the respondent, who referred to him as a knob or misogynist, and that his behavior had been awful. The court, the applicant in court sought an unreserved apology from the respondent in broad terms. The court granted an order to the applicant and directed that the respondent remove those Facebook posts that he had posted.
Mm-hmm.
And it said that the statements that were communicated or that had been published by this particular person, which was Finch, had been defamatory and wrongful towards the applicant. Now, I spoke about freedom of speech earlier.
Yes, yes.
Freedom of speech is guaranteed in terms of Section 16 of the Constitution of the Republic.
Mm.
Now, while one has the right to freedom of speech, that right to freedom of speech is not absolute. As with all rights in the Bill of Rights, the right to freedom of speech can be limited in terms of Section 36, which is the law of general limitation.
Yeah.
And defamatory statements fall outside of the protection of freedom of speech. Your right to freedom of speech must not and cannot trump the rights of somebody else's reputation. So now the courts have the task of balancing between one expressing their own opinion
mm-hmm.
and then one refraining, obviously, from causing harm to others.
Mm-hmm.
Defamation of character is a serious case. And it has serious consequences on an individual's life,
mm-hmm.
depending on the type of the defamatory statements.
Mm-hmm.
Now, then there's the element of publication, because one of the things that you would ask me, Zama, is you talk about publication. Do I need to have written something? Publication does not necessarily mean that something must be written. Even verbal statements are, or the use of particular body language, like pulling a what you call a zap sign or something mm-hmm. of that nature,
mm-hmm.
they could be defamatory to the person that is wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
Defamation of character violates the rights of the person to whom it is communicated. Right? Mm. Now, it is very interesting. One thing that you would note, Zama, is the fact that the publication must be published to a third party.
Yeah.
However, if a statement is communicated between two parties who are married to each other, the courts do not define that to be a publication, and therefore it is excluded
mm-hmm.
in the form or in the element of defamation. This is according to the case of Whittington versus Boyles.
Mm-hmm.
So before social media, publishing would be mostly done by printing on newspapers or magazines. But now every single person is a publisher. I mean, once you go on WhatsApp, you go on X, you go on Facebook, you go on Snapchat, on Twitter, on TikTok.
You are able.
Yes, you are able to publish, and you are responsible when you share or comment or whatever it is when you repost. That particular defamatory statement, you are as responsible as the very person who published it in the first place.
Yeah. Now, you know, before you go there, I see our time, man. You know, our time, a time is an enemy. So before, I think we're literally about 2 minutes to go. Before I let you go, you know, you're talking about this defamation and how people talk and would publish in any, you know, a platform, whether it is newspapers, etc. I see other people prefer not to pursue defamatory statements. For instance, I've read a lot written about former President Zuma, as an example. You talked about politicians, and I've seen slander, as it were, according to what you have defined. Not only him, by the way, and many other people who are accused of you know, corruption and all of those things, and people just write willy nilly. But I see that they're not responding. And is it because you said right at the beginning that these are very difficult to prove? Is it because of that, or would it just be tedious to actually pursue these?
Not necessarily, Zama. A certain standard is held on politicians and people in public, in the public spaces. Mm-hmm. When you are a politician or you are in the public space, there is a particular standard by which you are held by. In mm-hmm. other words, you must have a thick skin.
Mm-hmm. Ah, okay. Right?
So people are going to comment. People are going to make defamatory statements.
And they will
people
slander
are going
you.
To make. They will slander you. But you must have
a thick skin. I get you.
Politician, for instance, would not be measured as how we would measure what we call a reasonable man according to the reasonable man standard.
Oh, is that so?
That is correct.
Wow. Okay, that's interesting.
However, Zama, there is what we also call political privilege, right? Where ministers or members of parliament, they enjoy the protection of political privilege. In other words, they can call each other thieves, they can call each other corrupt, they can call each other whatever it is that they call each other. They can publish, and they enjoy what is called political privilege, as long as the statements are made within the political terrain.
I see. Now it makes sense, because these guys, they would slander each other, they would defame. I would cringe in many instances, and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, I don't think if it was said about me, I would let it lie low. I would be in court immediately.
Yes, that is correct, definitely.
Now, oh my goodness, you know what, our time is literally up because we've got to go to the next guest, but I wanted to check, you know, what defenses are available against a claim of defamation, but hey, we literally do not have the time. Perhaps we'll chat about more about, you know, the defamation, because we're dealing with the basics today of defamation. Maybe at some time in the future, we'll delve deeper into much more detail on defamation, right?
I'd be happy to do that.
Lovely. Thank you so much, sir.
No, thank you, Zama, and your listeners.
Goodbye.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.